Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Mayo Monday. Gerard Mayo with us in just about 1 hour. Right now, though, Boomer Esiason on a Patriots Monday, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services. Find them at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By Town Fair Tire, for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning, man. So here's the good news. You want silver lining stuff, or you want, like, you want the black hole?
Silver lining is fine.
All right. Well, I always like to focus on the positive, and Drake May was pretty damn good yesterday, man.
Yeah, you know, Drake May giveth and then he taketh away, but he got you into overtime.
Hey, the life of a rookie, man. I'm telling you, Greg, he has all the makings of somebody that's going to be really good. I mean, you could see it, and you know he's got the ability to run, and that should be curtailed as the season goes on, hopefully, and then as he goes into his second, third, and fourth season, we'll see less and less than that because right now he's still relying on his athleticism, which is fine. That's what most young quarterbacks do. Even Jaden Daniels doing some of that still down in Washington. But I have to say, he looks good. He looks strong. He looks accurate. It looks like he's in charge, and he certainly looks like he's not overwhelmed.
He missed the memo on sliding. Like, I don't know. I don't know when he's going to pick that up, but it makes me nervous.
You know, especially coming off of a concussion. I didn't think he was going to play this week. I thought they were definitely going to overreact and be super sensitive about it. But, you know, he's a football player first and foremost. That's the thing that was coming out of the combine when they were going through all the interviews with all the different players. Okay, he was third on the list, okay? And I can understand why. I mean, Caleb Williams was supposedly a can't-miss player. Jaden Daniels was a can't-miss player. But there was something about Drake May that really did set him apart, and that was his love of football and the way that he played it. And sometimes we don't see that in college, and you got to learn that in these meetings that they have at the combines and then later on at pro days and things of that nature. So I remember when Joe Shane in the offseason Hard Knocks walked into the box there at Indianapolis and walked into the Patriot box and said, what would it take for us to get up to the number three pick? And rightfully so, Elliott Wolf said, nah, I don't think so. That's not happening.
Boomer, when you look at his interceptions, is it something that we should be worried about, or is this just a learning curve for him coming into the league?
100% learning curve. You know, the last interception that he threw, he never saw a hook or the safety. And, you know, those are things that you're aware of the more that you play. You know, those guys back there are pretty smart. Even though they were a losing team, and they do have a top defense, believe it or not, their offense was terrible down there in Tennessee. But those are just things that you know. Like, you learn as you go. He'll learn a valuable lesson that throwing the ball down the middle of the field, when you're late with it, most likely you're going to have a safety, especially a good one, come and steal the ball from you. So I think that's a learning curve. But this is what happens with most rookie quarterbacks. What's happening with Jaden Daniels or C.J. Stroud last year is the anomaly.
Boomer, one of the things that I'm excited about is you're starting to see, like, out in Washington with Jaden Daniels, guys wanting to go play with him. I feel like Drake May, guys are going to want to play with him if he continues to show his success. Were you ever in the league and guys wanted to play with you? What was those communications like?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it was an amazing situation for me because in 92 was my last year with the Bengals, and in 93, I was going to be traded, and I was either going to be traded to the Raiders or the Jets. And Reggie White was being lured to the Jets. They were trying to get him as a free agency, but he said to Dick Steinberg, our general manager, and to Bruce Cosgrove, our head coach, you know, who is going to be your quarterback of the future before I sign here? And they told him that they, you know, really didn't have one. They had a rookie. His name was Browning Nagel. And he said, if you can trade for Boomer and you can get Boomer here, it would give you a much better chance to sign me. Now, they did trade for me, but ultimately he chose Green Bay, which was unfortunate for us. Jeez. But his recommendation to the Jets to trade for me was a big reason why I ultimately left Cincinnati.
Gerard, I like Mayo. I hope he succeeds. I'm not a big enemy of his. However, I was really disappointed both that they didn't go for two at the end of that game, and that after the game he was totally unprepared, offered just I can't answer that right now when asked about why not going for two at the buzzer beater at the end of the fourth.
Well, Drake May is, first of all, rookie quarterback, and Gerard Mayo is trying to manage expectations, manage his game. There are a lot of things to like about his games, but there are the occasional, like, I'm just going to take off and run and take a hit part of his game, and then there's the I'm just going to let it rip and not even think about throwing an interception when, in fact, it turns out to be an interception. I wish Gerard would have went for it. I really do. I mean, at this point in the season, what does a tie get you? What does, anything but trying for going for two get you? It gets you nothing. They're going nowhere. And I know all the players, all the coaches, the ownership, they all want to win. There's no question about that. And I was a little bit surprised that he did not go for it at the end there. For me, watching the game from a distance, not in the locker room, I would have went for it.
If you were Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo and the brain trust here, Boomer, is anybody other than Drake May on this team untouchable?
No. I don't think so. I think teams with losing records now, this is why it's early November. It's time to assess your team moving forward. They've already made a couple of trades, which was not shocking to any of us. Maybe the Matt Judon one was early on in the season, but that kind of gave you a sense of what they were thinking going into the season. Let's try to get as many assets as we can moving forward. It's all about having draft picks and, you know, having more draft picks and just keep throwing more shots on goal, as they say in hockey. And the more shots you can throw on goal, the more likely you are to hit special players late in the draft rounds.
Boomer, we've been talking about, for us here in New England, it's really about the future and what should the Patriots do with their draft pick. Right now, I think they're probably sitting atop the NFL with the number one overall pick. You have connections to Cincinnati. Is there any chance if the Patriots put together a good package with assets that they could land a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, or are the Bengals hell-bent and willing to pay him the money that he wants?
My guess is that Ja'Marr Chase is going nowhere. You could sign T. Higgins in the offseason as a free agent, however. Ja'Marr Chase is going to stay right there with Joe Burrow. They're too explosive. They're too good. And knowing the Bengals the way I do know them, they're not a cheap organization by any stretch of the imagination. At least no longer are they a cheap organization. But they pay their quarterbacks. They pay their wide receivers. They'll figure out a way to keep Ja'Marr, but T. Higgins, unlikely to stay there. He'll be a free agent, and maybe that's a target for the Patriots next year. We all know what the Patriots need. They need a stable offensive line, and they need playmakers. And you can find playmakers in the NFL. There's no question about it. And as long as you have a quarterback that is dedicated to the game and can raise the level of everybody's play, which Drake May will end up doing. Actually, he's already done it. But, you know, there are mistakes that are going to come along with it right now just because of the inexperience. To me, that's where I'm focusing all of my offseason efforts. 95% of them are going to be on the offensive side of the ball to give Drake May the best opportunity to be the next Tom Brady, if you will.
I was going to ask you about Zeke Elliott, but I guess I'll ask in general about the Cowboys and the free fall that is going on there. Does that, in your mind, set up perfectly for Bill Belichick to be their head coach?
It certainly feels that way, Greg. I mean, there are five coaches right now that, you know, are going to be looking most likely for new jobs next year, and Mike McCarthy will be one of them unless they turn it around, which does not look like is going to happen, especially if Dak Prescott's His hamstring is going to be, you know, worse than we think it is. It could be a 4-week injury, and if that is, their season is completely collapsing. So yes, he's one of those coaches. Dennis Allen down in New Orleans is one of those coaches. Antonio Pierce, Brian Daboll, you know, these are all the coaches that you got to be thinking about are going to be looking probably for jobs next year.
When you have your quarterback on the sideline saying, "We effing suck," like, don't they know that all the cameras are on them at all points of the game? Do they just not care? And how bad of a look is that for the rest of the team when you see your quarterback, your star of the team, saying that you guys suck?
Especially when you pay him as much money as they're paying him.
Right.
You would think you'd be a little bit smarter about things of that nature. But, yeah, I mean, it's miserable, Courtney, and there's nobody... No, there's nobody worse than like your lead guy making the most money, having that out there on the air, and social media is all over it. And I feel bad for them, but at the end of the day, they receive an enormous amount of coverage for no reason. I mean, they're just a brutal organization right now. And listen, the organization always tends to stink from the head down. And, you know, if that guy at the top of the food chain is not, stable and is giving interviews and things of that nature, it just creates even more problems for the coach and for the general manager, who he is, and then, of course, the players.
Just don't say it to him on his own radio show.
Oh, my God, he'll get you fired.
Well, not you, Boomer. Speaking of broadcasters, I don't know if you were ever fined when you were doing Monday Night Football all those years, but Tom Brady may be facing discipline from the NFL, according to some sources, saying that his critique of the ref's ejection yesterday in the Lions-Packers game may fall into the purview of him critiquing NFL officiating as a minority owner.
All right, so my initial thought is, like, they're not fining Tom Brady. I mean, he's Tom Brady, for God's sake. He can do whatever he wants. So that's my initial reaction. My other reaction would be that there are probably 31 other teams out there that would be pushing the league office to fine Tom Brady. Now, the question is he going to get rid of his cell phone this time around? That's the biggest question.
All right. I mean, question of the week for Boomer Esiason is presented by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. It's a three-parter midway through the season. Boomer, real quick answers. Best team right now midway through the season?
I think Detroit right now would be the best team in the NFC. I think Baltimore, even though they're not in first place in their division, is the most difficult team to defend against in the league. Those two teams are rolling on offense.
Most disappointing player.
Most disappointing player has got to be Dak Prescott. He's right there. I mean, their team has got to be disappointing. I would also say the Bengals are really disappointing as well.
You got a guy who plays down in your region.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, I know. I mean, it's and they've already fired their coach, and it's a mess. But, you know, they keep saying, we got a pathway. We got a pathway. Well, sooner or later, you got to start winning games, for God's sake.
Yeah, all right. And then most surprising team so far.
Wow, it's got to be Washington and Jaden Daniels. I think Dan Quinn thus far, you know, you got a quarterback that can play. All of a sudden, you can coach. And he looks pretty good on the sideline. And certainly Jaden Daniels has exceeded everyone's expectations with his performance thus far.
Boomer, thanks for the time. And we will talk to you again next week.
Always my pleasure. Happy Election Day. Good luck. Go vote. See ya.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, the Patriots fall to 2-7 on the season with an overtime loss to the Titans in Nashville yesterday. Drake May completed 29 of 41 passes for 206 yards and a touchdown while throwing two interceptions.
6-20 since the start of last season.
Tough. Monday Night Football will see the Bucks at the Chiefs, 8:15 kickoff. You can listen to that right here on EEI. Next trending, Shime, I will be asking for your lock.
Ooh, okay. I'll try and cook something up. I don't like this game at all.
Okay, well, pick something.
You need help.
Courtney likes every game.
I love every game.
She can't stop. Somebody needs to help her.
I finally got that first, do you want to set a limit on how much you bet a month notification?
Uh-huh.
On my app, but I don't know why they did that to me. I've only deposited $50. That's it.
All right. Probably because they noticed that you have a problem.
Right.
I don't think I have a problem.
I think they're trying to help you.
I won yesterday.
How many legs are you going to go tonight?
I'm hoping for like a six-legger.
All right.
I'd like to win over a grand.
Oh, I all mean, right.
Okay, that's
from your
smart.
Lips to God's ears.
Because you really, you
wouldn't
take,
we all?
You really like. I know it's a win, but like a win of $50. You really count that as a win?
No, but I won 200.
When you're the parlay princess,
I know I won 200 yesterday.
Overall.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
the time you deposit the $50, Santo's already made more anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, NFL trade deadline is tomorrow. We're going to talk to Jerod Mayo coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. The Celtics take on the Hawks tonight in Atlanta. 7:45 tip, and the Bruins shut out the Kraken yesterday 2-0. Swayman had 23 saves in the win. That is what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All right, it's chilly out there. Currently in the beautiful city of Boston, 36 degrees, afternoon high of 53.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Oh, great. Now I have to have a jelly roll for lunch.
Wow. Emo song.
No, I think
I love it. No, I love it. But I'm just saying, like, no, really gets you in your feels.
I think he's great, jelly roll.
Same.
I think he's awesome.
But I'm not okay, but I'm going to be all right.
No, this New England Patriots team will someday be all right,
yes.
I think. Drake May on the decision to play for overtime, and we will talk to Jerod Mayo about that coming up. Curtis has been Zaprudering footage of Jonathan Kraft.
Yeah, if you look at Jonathan, he goes back and go for two.
It went back and to the left.
All right, so we got to have this on Twitch. I think the Mitch man has it up there. You can see the touchdown is scored.
Yeah.
Unbelievable play by Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
And they pan up to the owner's box, and you see Jonathan at the tail end.
Start to say, go for two.
Yeah, I think that's what he says.
Yeah.
And so this is not a big deal in the grand scheme of life. This specific play at this specific time, kicking the extra point, not the end of the world. What is concerning to me is the chaos or the inability to have a plan. You know, one thing that I will always credit Bill Belichick with is situational awareness.
Hold on, write this down, please. Go ahead.
Situational awareness.
Yes.
He was as good as anybody. I think he was able to be great at those details because Tom allowed everything else to be taken care of on offense, but nonetheless, many coaches don't.
Wiggy talks about this all the time. He would have these guys, he planned for every possible eventuality,
right,
whether it would ever occur or not.
I mean, my favorite one of all time was the Monday night game in 03 against the Broncos where Lonnie Paxton snaps it off the upright, intentional safety. They end up winning that game. Just awesome.
Yeah.
So that is a concern that on that drive, or even when they begin the drive down a touchdown, that they don't have a plan in place to say, if we score, we're going to run this play. And
well, the plan was, if we score, we're going to kick the extra point.
It didn't seem like that was the plan all along, because then why wouldn't Mayo just say we decided on the drive that we were going to kick an extra point?
What do you mean?
Weird like, that he didn't. Curtis
you're
right,
saying because he didn't. He doesn't answer the media's question.
Yeah.
It's the manner in which he answered it. Not that he didn't say, you know, we were going to do a oop-de-oop right. It's that he was hemming and hawing and wondering about getting a story straight.
Good
from
question.
My perspective.
Good question, but I'm not going to answer it right now. Or
That seems like an odd thing to say.
Hopefully he will answer it when he's on with us.
Well, then I guess the question you asked him was, were there conversations prior to scoring the touchdown on if you do score, are you going to go for two or kick the extra point?
Yeah.
Because if he says, well, the whole plan was to kick the extra point, I guess maybe.
But that's not what he said.
No. But I'm saying if that's the plan, that he's just not telling us.
It seemed like there wasn't a plan. That's I think, what a lot of people have issue with.
No, a lot of people are like, why didn't you go for two?
They didn't have a plan.
Or have an answer as to why you didn't.
Well, the plan was to kick the extra point. I think a lot of people are upset as why you didn't say, hey, great question.
But the plan was always to play for overtime and win it in overtime.
Oh, you remember what he told us, that he only tells us what he wants us to know?
That is true.
But you could say that we had a plan to go for two. The chaos of that play, we're out of timeouts, they were gassed, you know, I just thought it was the right thing to do. I think that's another fine answer.
I think we will, yeah, we'll talk to him about that coming up. Jerod Mayo will be with us here at Gillette Stadium shortly. Right now, though, we got to get to this.
It's time for...
No longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house.
The news.
It's on your laptop, then therefore up here in this cloud that exists above us, right?
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Do a fingerprint or something instead of you having to see my boobs.
Yeah. Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with five locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com on WEEI.
What do you think they would say if I stood up when I
was... Well, officials have identified the man killed in a stabbing in Chelsea on Friday as 40-year-old Juan Osorio. Police are investigating after Osorio was found with numerous stab wounds around 7 a.m. in Volk Park. We can hear from one resident speaking to WCVB.
Just shocked. Shocked in a way, again, because, you know, it's at a park. You wouldn't think to see that at a park.
Mm. I mean, what's going on? It's like every day there's a shooting in broad daylight. There, it's like around Boston, it's getting worse and worse. Mm.
People are people are on edge.
But you think because of the election?
Yes. I am terrified. Honestly, I am so scared for Wednesday for America.
You are?
I have never been this afraid in my life.
Really?
I think we are at this, like, and it is apolitical. I think both sides are, I'm terrified of all outcomes for what the world will look like the next day. Because I fear that one person will not accept an outcome should he lose.
Yeah.
And I fear the other side not knowing what to do should he win.
Yeah.
And both yield very dangerous outcomes in my perspective.
Well, you can just stay inside all day.
Well, I mean, that's sort of my life anyway. Stay away from Castle Island and I'm fine.
We've been dealing with this forever, so just go out there and live your life. So social media, Courtney, is why you have so much anxiety.
Just make sure to have a plan when you go to vote. Like, if I see one more influencer say, like, have a plan, bring an umbrella in case it rains, pack a snack.
Oh, my God.
Like,
they do not
can't.
Say that.
No,
pack
my God,
snack?
Yes. Pack a snack.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think you need to pack a snack.
I will be.
Okay.
Just in case.
All right.
You never know how long it could take.
Right.
Yeah.
Understand. Get a loaf of bread.
There is a warning because an older woman in Malden was scammed out of thousands of dollars. This is a story that I've received this message before, and you got to know it's a scam and not to click on the link or to get somebody on the phone, because the scammer pretends to be a border control officer saying that whoever they're reaching out to, in this case, this woman, had a package held up at the border from Mexico. They claimed the package had 2 pounds of cocaine, meth, fake social security cards, and money for laundering. And the border patrol officer said that they were going to send her over to a U.S. marshal. Now, these are all fake.
Yeah.
It's not a U.S. border control person and not a U.S. marshal. They told her she could come to Texas with a lawyer to clear her name or go through another process to be cleared in 24 to 48 hours. How anybody could fall for this is, like, crazy to me. But they then guided her to a local Bitcoin machine to deposit money. After that, thousands. Missing.
Oh, the poor lady.
What's a Bitcoin machine?
I never heard of it, but a lot of scammers are using them. Like, there was a story we did recently about a guy who went to, like, a 7-Eleven, and the cashier stopped him because they could hear the phone conversation that this older gentleman was having with somebody, and it was a Bitcoin machine at the 7-Eleven, and it was the same exact thing. So I had never heard of a Bitcoin machine, but I guess once you put in the information, then they can, like, drain
your bank account. I seen one at a gas station, and I guess it's like, you know, for people who have Bitcoin, it's a way for them to...
It's like an ATM. Yeah, you just take money out and you can get...
Really?
Yeah. We could hear from the victim, Linda Dolph, on BZ.
Now, by the way, I checked out the federal sites, and both of the people I spoke to are listed on those federal sites. And the telephone numbers they were calling from were on those federal sites.
Yeah, the scammers, man. The scammers, they are getting more and more advanced.
This is not right. On the Subaru of New England text line, a texter says, happy birthday, Greg. You're 1 year away from this. I am not
not a year away.
I do worry about you a little bit because you're not very good with like technology.
I'm great with technology.
Not really. And so I worry that you could fall victim to this where, like, you know, you have the glasses on your head squinting like, Lindsay, I'm getting border control.
I'm not going to fall for a scam.
Careful. We've all been there before.
You got to get up
down that road.
You got to get up pretty early in the morning.
It happened to you last summer.
No, you don't. Not today. The scammers
You fell for one.
Yeah, because the scammers today are extremely, extremely talented.
You had your bank account drained by one.
No,
of these
it wasn't completely drained, but they took some money.
Yeah.
OnlyFans?
No. The scammers, I'm telling you.
It was a diplomat from Nicaragua.
They know how to get the...
It was the Prince of Nigeria. Right?
When the deposed king's son calls.
Here's what I'll say. This is all fun and jokes now, till it happens to you.
I agree with you. I agree. It hasn't happened to me yet.
Mom and Dad, if you're listening, I do think we should do similar things for my parents as we do for young kids. Like, just have the phone for calls for family.
Yeah.
And that's it?
That's it? Because... I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, if you find yourself in a situation like this and they're saying, come to Texas with a lawyer, go to Texas with a lawyer. Don't go to a Bitcoin machine. And if you are being accused of trying to get drugs across the border in fake Social Security cards, you're not just going to be able to pay your way out.
No, I wouldn't go to Texas with a lawyer either. I mean,
your lawyer.
I think if the Border Patrol or a U.S. Marshal needs to talk to you, they're going to do it in person.
See, yeah. And that's the thing, though.
The point.
They
lure you into it.
No. They
Courtney's whole plan was debunked in 5 seconds.
No. What they do is they know who you are, so they're talking about going to the border in Texas with an older lady. For you, the scam was, hey, we got Taylor Swift tickets here for you. Go to this.
Mine legitimately was at the border. We have a package that's trying to come over the border, and I looked at it, laughed, and deleted the message.
But an older person wouldn't get it. But if they said, "Hey, we got it, and we put your name in, you got
like
chance."
I won Taylor Swift tickets.
Yeah, that's how they know how to get like the people. The older people are like, "Oh my God, drugs and a border. I gotta go."
That's true.
All right.
We flipped the clocks back an hour.
Well, that was so
I really caught it.
Oh, dear.
Yesterday morning at 2 a.m., Senator Ed Markey continues to advocate against changing the clocks. He shared a video on social media over the weekend. Here's what he had to say.
We need year-round daylight saving time. We need to make sure that the hour of sunlight, of daylight, is in the evening so that people's mouths can be turned upwards in a smile. And they can keep that daylight that just makes them feel so much better than having it earlier and earlier in the morning. So daylight saving time, we got to get it done.
What's taking so long? I'll vote for this.
Yeah.
I would too.
I mean, I think it's in Congress. I think they approved it. Getting rid of it. I don't know. I mean, it's not the most important issue that our country is dealing with. But
yeah. I thought that was very well said by
Ed Markey.
Ed Markey.
He's decided he's going to run again one more term. And when he gets to the re-election time, he will be 80 years old.
Oh.
Ed Markey. Wow. So another 6 years, and he'll be 86.
So the people's mouths can be turned upwards in a smile.
Doesn't he also talk about the windmills being directed at us or something?
Yes.
Anyway.
So, but you said this morning when we got here that we should do away with it.
It's crazy. I don't get it. I honestly don't. James was asleep last night at like 5:15. So, like, he's up a couple times. And like, everybody's system is off. Mm-hmm. For what? So the sun rises at 6:30 instead of 7:30?
Yeah. Right. And I don't know how it's got to be so difficult. Everybody says, yes, we're on board. Isn't it like the change should happen like that? Why does everything, when they approve it, it takes 10 years for it to actually go into effect?
And the other thing about this is what they say, Greg, is that it's for the farmers. So why can't the farmers do their own stuff, call it whatever time it is?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're harvesting something in the crops in the morning, what matters what time it is?
Yeah. Wake up a little earlier.
Right. Why are we all inconvenienced?
We've been talking about it all morning, but Election Day is tomorrow, and we're hearing from at least one candidate on the death of Peanut the Squirrel. Big news over the weekend.
Who is Peanut the Squirrel?
Peanut the Squirrel has become like a social media influencer of sorts.
Okay.
But you know how there are pet influencers out there?
It's like the Quahog.
Peanut the Squirrel has climbed the ranks.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Peanut the Squirrel was euthanized for allegedly biting somebody.
Ooh. Oh.
And
so wait,
a person owned Peanut.
Yes.
As a pet.
Yes.
Turned them into an influencer.
Correct.
And then Peanut bit somebody.
Yep.
And so they came and they took Peanut away to the oak tree in the sky.
Right. Well, they say all dogs go to heaven. I don't know about squirrels.
Okay.
But J.D. Vance says that Trump fired up about it. Here's what he had to say at a rally in North Carolina.
So I know Don's fired up about Peanut the squirrel. We were on the way down here from Cincinnati. He was like, you know, is it really the case that the Democrats murdered the Elon Musk of squirrels? And I said, yeah, it sounds like, have you seen the videos of this squirrel?
Yeah.
He's like, he's a genius. Or he was.
Yeah.
Or he was.
Did you see J.D. Vance?
Yeah.
Do you see the Mediaite story that they ran with a fake condolence from Donald Trump? And they were saying that everybody that Donald Trump had issued a statement on the passing of Peanut.
No, I didn't
It was
see
entirely
that.
False. Yeah.
Who is next in line when it comes to pet influencers to take over that space from Peanut?
That's a great question. I'm trying to find the name of Peanut's brother. Who's also a bit of
an
influencer. Well, yeah, I mean, Harry is an influencer.
Is Mudang still popular?
Yes, very popular.
What about Harambe?
Was it Walnut?
R.I.P.
Chestnut?
No, it's not a squirrel. It's not a squirrel?
Punxsutawney Phil?
Where the heck did it go?
Who's the one you mentioned, Shine?
Mudang is the hippo from, I think, China.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
A little baby hippo.
Right.
No, and people have been, actually, zoos have been very good about being like, it's always Mudang this, Mudang that. And then they'll show their own hippo at their zoo and say, like, come visit, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I thought they'd like be a panda bear or something like that. I feel like people love that.
Sometimes there's also a penguin out there, too, that's pretty popular. I forget his name. I think it's like King or something.
Fred the Raccoon. That was Squirrel's brother.
Fred the Raccoon, okay.
So Fred the Raccoon has a good following as well.
Wasn't Fred wasn't taken with Peanut.
No, Peanut was taken.
Oh, just Peanut was taken.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank God.
Somebody's eating Peanut.
We should take a break.
Okay.
We will get to the rest of the news coming up in just a little bit. And Jerod Mayo will be with us, as he always is, on Mondays here at Gillette Stadium during the 9 o'clock hour. It is a Patriots Monday and a Mayo Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium. The title of that one, Chime, is I Ran and Averaged 1.9 Yards Per Carry. Is that what that is?
Well played, sir.
I think so. We'll talk to Jerod Mayo about the issues when it comes to the Patriots running the football. You brought that up earlier.
Yeah, that kind of fell off. They were running the ball well. That disappeared. Yeah,
it did disappear at least the last four games. So, yes.
I need to issue a correction, unfortunately. Oh. Some sad news that Fred the Raccoon was also euthanized.
Yes, Breece Hill sent me a text, very upset that you were sharing fake news.
I'm very sorry.
So Fred is gone. And
his brother. Yeah. They both
she
got
doesn't
it.
Even know about influencers.
Yep, and so sad news. Jerod Mayo coming up at 9, but right now back to the rest of the news.
Hopefully it's accurate.
Some more sad news. Quincy Jones has passed away at the age of 91. Jones died at his Bel Air home last night, surrounded by family, and he has won 27 Grammys.
I mean, Wiggy, probably the greatest. He wasn't only a producer, but probably the greatest producer of all time in music, would you not say?
No, hands down, yeah. And he brought you so many, like, theme songs, Sanford and Son. He
Thriller,
produced,
right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, a lot of Michael Jackson.
He produced Thriller. I mean, that's, arguably top five album all time.
Yeah, so, it's when you think about, like, him as a producer and just executive producer to, like, you know, TV shows.
But he did movies.
Yeah, he did
like,
everything.
I think you love Wizard of Oz. I think he was the producer, director of Oz. Mm-hmm. Is that the name of that movie?
Yes.
And so we
got to get Courtney to see that. That's the Diana Ross, Michael Jackson.
I might do that today, actually.
Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
Moving on, the Collins Dictionary has announced their word of the year. Any guesses on what the most important word was this year? The most used. Nope. But you're in, like, that genre.
Well,
yeah.
Clap, what'd you say?
Cap.
No, I have no idea.
I'm kind of behind when it comes to the lingo. It's not ghosting or...
No, that was a few years ago. It is brat this year. Because it was a brat summer turning into a brat fall.
Oh.
They define brat as characterized by a confident, independent, and hedonistic attitude. We can hear from some man on the street interviews of people describing brat.
Okay.
Being hot, sexy, and having fun.
Partying. Clubs.
It's just like being feral, being yourself.
Dirty, grimy.
Whenever you're trying to do something and you think you have like second thoughts about it, just like don't have second thoughts and just do it.
Take a breath, be present, ask yourself what you want to do, and then do whatever it is that the first thing that comes up.
Just be hot, sexy, and be yourself.
Yeah, I'll be hot so and sexy. I saw hot and sexy and be yourself.
Not to be too,
YOLO.
You know, encyclopedic about a definition, but do they know what present means? Because I have never seen a 25-year-old that hasn't been in their phone, and you are not present if you're staring at your phone.
Yeah,
it's not just 25-year-olds, I mean. It's everybody.
I mean, I never heard brat like in that sense, but now everything,
Yeah, it was brat summer.
Yeah, the meanings are so different.
Well, they were saying like Charlie XCX's album this summer was brat.
Her album was brat?
Yeah.
Okay, I did not know that.
What about Taylor Swift? Does she do like, brat?
Taylor Swift's not brat, no.
What about brat, like a bratwurst?
I love a brat.
All right.
And Greg, as we get into the holiday spirit, I want to make sure that your DVR is set correctly because the Rudolph TV special, I know, is one of your favorites, moving from CBS to NBC.
Why is this a big story? Does anybody actually sit down and watch Rudolph on CBS on a regular network? Like, it's available any moment.
What was the last thing you watched on TV that wasn't a game? That wasn't
not a
streaming service.
Oh, so
where you turn the TV on to watch
something. It's probably the Golden Bachelorette because Lindsay and I watch that.
I bet it's a reality show.
What's that?
Do you watch it live?
Yes.
Okay.
We watch it live.
I bet it's reality shows. If you're talking about what people are watching live, and maybe you probably have a lot of people that are probably still into the CSI world, and they have all Chicago. Don't they have like a Chicago Wednesday night, like Chicago MD, Chicago 911?
So I think probably like the last thing I watched live was an award show.
Right. Like so you're talking about the infra. I mean, the radio is far more used daily than network TV, and it's not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see last night's episode of The Penguin?
No.
It's excellent.
So I'll watch that today. I think it's two more episodes.
Yeah, I don't think it's the finale, but it was. I won't say anything about it because I don't want to spoil it, but it was great.
I watched the finale of season 4 of Sons of Anarchy. I've been on this journey now for quite some time, and it struck me yesterday.
Really?
Mm.
Johnny Bart is Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. Johnny Bart is Wiggy's buddy that we talk about from time to time on the show.
Yeah. Hell's Angels guy.
Yep.
And
the
motorcycle
club, so you kind of just kind of.
He came by Basic Brunch yesterday.
Kind of put two and two together.
Yes.
Now. Yeah. I haven't been able to get through episode 1 yet.
Yeah.
I just got busy and haven't been able to get through episode 1 of season 1. But, I'll eventually.
What? Season 1?
Courtney told me about it.
Sons of Anarchy.
I started on it, but then got caught
You're going to love it.
Some other stuff and just haven't been back to it yet.
I hear you, Wiggs.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Queen of Christmas, Mariah Carey, has said it is officially the season. She took to social media, as she always does, on November 1st, saying it's time. Mitch is playing her video that she released. She always picks like a theme. This year it was like she was Halloween-y, and then as soon as the clock struck midnight, she became, you know, this Christmas.
But so what is she saying? That it's okay to play Christmas music now?
Yes, she says
really?
November 1st. Well, because her song, she makes a killing come Christmas time.
Okay, but can't you wait till after Thanksgiving?
Right. That's what I thought.
It seems disrespectful.
Why?
Because it's
the
just
pilgrims.
There's no Thanksgiving music.
No, but don't you think, so you don't mind it's November
4th?
I think this week it's going to be in the 70s again by the end of the week. What? What are you laughing?
We can just say it's the 4th.
I know.
Yes, what day was
it? No, I think he was like saying like it's what, November? He was just saying it's the month of November?
I was in the middle of a sentence, but it's fine.
Well, I thought you were trying to figure out what day. No, was you like, it's November 4th.
Anyway.
I'm going to put up my tree this week.
What?
That's way too early.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, we're going to go get our stuff this
week. That's cap.
It's way too early.
You know where you're putting your tree up this week?
We are, yeah. We've decided that we are going to decorate this week.
You decided.
Well, regardless.
Really?
Yeah.
And you guys do fake, right? You don't do real.
We do fake, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way to
go. Wow.
Yeah, I just think it's too early.
Way too early.
It's like it makes your house feel so much cozier and the ambiance is gorgeous. So, I mean, why not enjoy that longer?
The only thing I'll agree with about this is that when it's dark at 4:30 as it is, a Christmas tree may make the mood a little brighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it's like we rush everything in life. And so why not wait until Thanksgiving arrives, enjoy that, and then segue right into Christmas.
So you never had your tree up when people come by for Thanksgiving?
No.
It's only 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So then you only have your place decorated for 3 weeks.
It's plenty of time.
No, because people usually keep it up after a little bit after Christmas. So it's not. I'm with Greg. You put your tree up after Thanksgiving. Because you know why? You got your Thanksgiving decorations up. So you can't have your Thanksgiving Day decorations and your Christmas decorations. It's a conflict of, you know... Just don't go to get those
what
two
do you
worlds
do for Thanksgiving decorations.
Oh, you put your, you know, you put yeah, maybe your pumpkins, your turkeys.
What do you do? One of those giant squash things?
A cornucopia.
The turkeys.
Okay.
What? That's what it's called.
The kids make the turkeys out of paper.
I love that show so much.
And their hand.
All right. Is that it on the news?
That's it on the news.
Great job.
All right.
Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
All right. We're at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday. Patriots fall to 2-7 on the season after an overtime loss to the Titans yesterday. And we will talk to Gerard Mayo and to you about that coming up next.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.